Blog Talk Radio.
Made by him, without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. And thank God we're here just another day that the Lord has blessed us to be able to get back into his word, which is the mirror, which is the word of the Lord, as the light and lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And James calls it the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the word that goeth forth out of God's mouth, not going to return unto me void, as the prophet Isaiah cries out, it's going to accomplish the thing I sent it and prosper that which I please, saith the Lord. So we thank God we're here just another day on June the 13th. June the 12th, 2011, and we're here on Blog Talk Radio one more time. So we thank God for all of our Blog Talk followers and friends, also all of our Facebook followers and friends, our Twitter followers and friends, and also I don't want to be remiss to leave out LinkedIn, have numbers of friends and people that we're linked up with on LinkedIn. So it's good for, thank God for LinkedIn also. All of the listeners on LinkedIn. So God bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So also, most of the time I'm always forgetting, you can call in should you have a question, should you have a comment. Our call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is our call-in number, 646-716-6566. Also, you can email us should you desire to drop us a few lines at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. So thank God for you, our faithful listeners. And we thank God for his word, because that's all we have is to get into the word of the Lord. So, and like Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we thank God for that. So that's what we're endeavoring to do by the grace of God, is to tell the truth. So knowing that the truth will make us free. So I'd like to mention, take time to mention, as I have last several weeks, about a product that my wife is selling. And you can check this product out. It's a very good product. I've been using this couple of these products myself for over a year now. And that is, you can go to www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. That is www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. So these products, they have a paper out with doctor recommendations for the healing of the body, and people have various testimonies. So check this product out. My wife's name is Ambrosia L.D. Cannon, and that is www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. So check these out, these products out. You'll be glad you did. I like the hot chocolate and the cafe latte, and they also have tea. They have other products, too. Just have to go to the website and check it out. Again, and www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. God bless you. Okay, so we're going to move on in our lesson. And we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And this is a quote from Ephesians 4, the fourth chapter, the fourth verse, fifth verse, and the sixth verse. As Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, we call them Ephesians. And to the Ephesian church, he wrote. So we thank God that we're here another day, being able to be blessed to go over the airways, and thank God that we have been kept by the power of God. As the Bible said, that the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So as the prophet Jeremiah says, is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So thank God that we're here. He woke us up. He didn't have to do it. I saw someone made a post on Facebook about how many people die in their sleep. So thank God that we're here just another day. And as someone said, if you're above ground, you have options. So thank God to be able to be here. So be able to get back into his word. I thank him he didn't take me. And just good to be here, to be able to be a witness for the Lord. And so that's what this is all about. So, like I say, thank God for Blog Talk Radio. And I didn't never know about this particular aspect of technology. And I found out about it through one of my brothers, and thank God for it. And then I also encouraged another sister at the church where I used to go to about Blog Talk, and then so she ended up doing it. So now all three of us are on Blog Talk, and then even more people, and still trying to encourage another couple at our church to do Blog Talk. So it's definitely fulfilling. That. Thank God for my pastor encouraging me to do this. I didn't think I could do this. So you never know. Sometimes you don't know what you can do, but thank God for his word. So knowing that the times we're living in, the Lord is soon to come, we can see so many prophecies being fulfilled in the scriptures. So definitely want to do my part. I want to stand before him and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So it's so simple. He said, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. So we know that he gave the talents. In the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, he gave five, two, and one. So whatever that one talent is so important. Some people have more than one talent or more than one gift. So whatever we have, we want to do it as unto the Lord, as I've been taught down through the years. And it's definitely in the scriptures. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord. So we don't have to be shocked. Everybody's not going to receive you. They hated the disciples, the apostles, so much that they killed them. But I'm reminded of what the Lord said. Don't fear him that could kill the body, but fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So what he's saying is fear God. So we want to fear God with reverential fear. So we fear him and we worship him because we love him. We're not afraid. So thank God that we don't have a throne of mercy like they had, a throne of judgment like they had back in the Old Testament. You died before two or three witnesses if you were caught in sin. But now we can come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I believe on last week we were talking out of the 20th chapter of St. John. We were talking about the Lord. After the crucifixion, after he was crucified, he was buried, and his resurrection, and how Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils, one of the first ones to see him after he rose from the dead. What a lesson that is. I imagine that's why Christ Jesus came into the world. Apostle Paul wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel. He said, to save sinners of whom I am chief. Can't imagine how bad Mary Magdalene must have been. The Bible say in more than one place, out of whom he cast seven devils. So it doesn't matter what we did, but we were in dire need of a Savior. So thank God for that. But anyway, last week we were talking about the omniscient God, which means he knows all things. Omnipresent, which means he's everywhere and everywhere, every place. Omnipotent means he has all power. So that's what we were dealing with on last week. And then we also talked about the persecution of Stephen when he preached to them about Moses and the law and all of those things that happened back then. And then they ended up stoning Stephen to death. And then we have a event in the book of the Acts of the Apostles where they stoned Stephen to death and then said, he looking up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God, which is utterly ridiculous to think that God had his hand out and Jesus is standing on his hand. That don't even make sense. But it's just it's the point of biblical terminology, like the arm of the Lord. Isaiah wrote, who is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. We shall see him. There shall no beauty we desire. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of his peace, our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So you can read in the Bible where God created things with, we are the work of his fingers. So that's definitely biblical terminology. So today we want to deal with, we're still talking about our subject, the Godhead, and we want to come out of the book of Job on today. And definitely Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible, and it's amazing, and according to the writer, all of these events that took place in those 42 chapters of the book of Job cover a period of 1 year, because it's, James even made mention about how we heard of the patience of Job, how God is pitiful and long-suffering. He wrote about him. But these things happened to this man. God called the man a perfect man. So that's another term that we don't really, we're afraid of, because we say nobody's perfect, but he told us to be perfect, and I'm going to deal with that some of these times. So even Apostle Paul, when he wrote, he was saying, finally, be perfect. Jesus was one of the first one who said, be therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. So when you deal with perfection, or you deal with being perfect, in biblical terminology, it's talking about maturity, because that's just an excuse that people want to use, that none of us are perfect, which God wouldn't tell us to do something that he knew we couldn't do. That is not the way that he operates. But biblical perfection is definitely maturity. And that's why the ministry is in the church in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, where we already read some scriptures out of there, but he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. There it is, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. There it is, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there it is right there. Grow up. So I remember I've said this before, even when we were teenagers, and they say that girls are more mature than boys. In many cases, they are. But in times when we were teenagers, girls would use that two words they would say to boys at times. And those two words were grow up. So that means to be mature. So we got to grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. So we can read in the Old Testament about Ahab, read about others, how they serve God, but not with a perfect heart. And so, and also, I used to think there's a scripture in the book of Psalms says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. So we used to always think that that was Jesus, but I'm told that it's not. But mark the perfect man and behold the upright, and for the end of that man is peace. So one man that we do know that the end of him was peace is the man Job, whose book we are going to get in on today. So we thank God for that. But we're going to deal with some things that the Lord done in this book, and also his deity, because just like we always trying to let everyone know that there is only one God. So when you get to heaven, you're looking for two or three, or you're going to be sadly mistaken, because there's only one God. Like I've said before, in the beginning, God is a divine testimony, and there was only one witness on the stand, and the witness was God himself. So that's why he had to make his ways, made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of men. So to make known is to reveal. So he had to reveal back there in the beginning that it was God back there in the beginning all by himself. So this is what the Bible lets us know also in the book of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's the office of sonship. By also whom he also made the worlds. And he is the express image of his person. Only way you can be the express image of someone, you got to be them. Like you see things when they say exclusive, that is only one who is able to do that. And so God alone did that. And I just want to make the right quote. Yeah, so it has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. This is Hebrews 1 and 2. whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So we know that was the Lord himself. So people don't understand that. That's the pattern. Jesus Christ is the pattern that he made the man Adam after. So the first man is of the earth, earthly, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's Jesus. So that's, it's amazing how God hid all of this stuff in his word, and people, he hid it from the wise and the prudent and reveal it unto babes. And so that's why people don't even understand it. When you read in St. John, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I mean, I don't understand, but it takes the Spirit of God to reveal spiritual things unto people. So, thing of it is God's word is going to be fulfilled. So thank God. Even in these last, we used to say, and evil days, we can see so many things are coming to pass. So the days of Lot, the days of Noah are so important. So we know what happened in the days of Lot. He burnt that place, Sodom and Gomorrah, down because the people were wicked. In the days of Noah, we know what happened. The floods came and destroyed everybody because man's heart was only, his thoughts was only evil continually. We're not talking about everybody, but we're just talking about the vast majority of people. So sometimes let people, like one songwriter, Curtis Mayfield, sung a song, if there's a hell below, we're all going to go. That's a lie. That is a lie out of hell. No, yeah, there is a hell below, but we're not all going to go. And that is a lie. I mean, we used to sing that back in the day, but that we're not going to all going to go. God's going to have a church. He's going to present to himself, in the book of Ephesians tells us about it, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You read in the book of the Revelation, God is going to have people, saved people. Matter of fact, God already has people sleep in the graves right now waiting for the last trump to get up in that first resurrection. So that's just stubbornness to say that ain't nobody right. But and hypocritical people will say that. And some people call themselves preaching or whatever, and they know they're not right. So you're out of your mind if you're going to come in, call yourself serving God, and you know, as they used to say, you straddle the fence, which there's no such thing as straddle the fence. You're either on one side or the other, or you got one foot in and one foot out. That is a lie, too, because you're either in or you're out. There's no such thing. You're hot or you're cold. That was the condition of the Laodicean church, which you read in the book of the Revelation, the first three chapters. That's why Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, come in, open the door, I'll come in and sup with him, and he with me. If he open the door, I'll come in. So he's knocking on the door. What door is he knocking on? The door of people's heart. So I'm not going to be stubborn. You shouldn't either. But we got to, like the Bible said, and God reminded me of this on this past Sunday. And what we got to do is what the scripture says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So we got to understand biblical terminology. So he's saying, don't harden your heart. In other words, open your heart up to God. Don't be stubborn, because I made my mind up. I don't care what I got to go through. I'm not going to be in a hell hole, and the lake of fire with the devil and all his imps, all the hoes and the prostitutes and the whoremongers and the murderers and every nasty, stinking, dirty spirit you could think of, all kinds of evil, wicked people there, because I got the wrong attitude. I'm not going to do that. So nobody in their right mind should do that. So today we thank God that we're here in the book of Job. So we just want to show, talk about some more of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ here, knowing that there is one God. So there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That word eschewed means he hated evil. So that's what we have to do as people of God. We're supposed to love what he loved and hate what he hates. Not hate people, but hate what every false way, hate the evil way, is what we're supposed to do. Not to have respect a person. You're wrong, don't matter who you are. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. So no sense in being stubborn. As they got the saying says, my bad. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Or if I had the wrong attitude, that is not the way that I roll or I intend to operate. And I'm not coming off as no deceiver. But the truth of the gospel is what's so important. And our dealings with people. Be honest, you be true. That's all you can do. That's the best you can do. You be true. So there was born unto him, talking about Job here, 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 3,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And I never thought of it, but somebody was saying one time, you drove past Job's place, you were riding for a while. He had some property. I mean, we can think about Solomon and all his glory and all what he had. The self, same thing, but today we're talking about Job. So his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. It was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So we can do that too. So we can pray. So I remember making a statement. I've said this years ago, and I say it from time to time, that I don't want to be laying up sick and nobody waiting on me or whatever. I'd rather just go quick because I know what my end is. So then there's nothing wrong with that. On the other hand, because you can pray. Who want their body racked with pain? So you can pray now. You can send prayers up right now. Who want to be full of cancer from their head to their toe? Who want to be in the shape that Job was in? You can pray that you don't. So there's nothing wrong with that. And the devil is a lie. He ain't going to con me and twist my arm out of praying. Because I rebuke him. In the name of Jesus. That's another thing we can do. The curse of God is against the devil, which is the curse of God is evil. It's against that devil, and we can't be afraid. This is what Elisha, they mocked Elisha after the death of Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind, and these children mocked the man of God. They called him bald head. So he turned. This is in the book of Kings, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. These children and these 42 she-bears came out of the woods. The bears came out of the woods and tore the children killed them, in other words. But Elisha, the man of God, cursed them in the name of the Lord because they mocked him. They called him, thou bald head. So God is not playing. So God is on your side. That's what the writer said in the book of Psalms. The Lord is on my side. What can man do unto me? So we have to watch our dealings with people. Because you can't persecute God all by himself. But the church is the body of Christ. which is members in particular, but Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. That's what Apostle Paul found out when he was persecuting the church of God before God saved him. His name was Saul of Tarsus, and he dropped the S from his name and added a P, called him Paul, made him an apostle. But when he got his attention, he said, "Who art thou? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" What was he doing? Persecuting the people of God. So I think sometimes people don't even know they're doing persecuting a child of God. You're persecuting the Lord himself, and they don't even know it. So that's why he found out he was persecuting the Lord. And that's why he was saying what he was before when he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel. And he said he did it ignorantly and in unbelief. So he was sorry for what he done. So anyway, we go here on here, Job sacrificed, sanctified, and sanctified his children and offered burnt offerings for his children because he didn't know how they really felt in their heart toward God. So we see here that we have another day here. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And this is God setting this up. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence cometh thou?" God asked Satan a question. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Now ain't that a mess? A dirty, rotten devil. I mean, God said, what are you doing? He said, "I'm going to and fro and walking up and down in the earth." So we know in the New Testament, Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant," because Peter said, "Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He goes on to say, "Who resists steadfast in the faith." So this is what the Bible tells us to do. Submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. There's a song people used to sing, "Beat the devil running, I'm so glad." How stupid is that when you really know what the word says? No, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Like somebody said, the devil left running because walking was too slow. And that's what the Bible said. Resist him, he'll flee. So he's a piece of trash. You got to realize who you're dealing with. It's not people, but it's the devil. He's a piece of work. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's an enemy of righteousness. He hates us. He's called the thief by Jesus. He said, "The thief cometh for nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy." He's talking about the devil in St. John, the 10th chapter. "I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly." So that's why I don't care. I'm going to tear his kingdom down because I'm going to preach God's word and teach God's word as I am doing right now. So that evil spirit was walking up and down in the earth. He said to God, and the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Now God set this up, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. There it is again. Got to pay very close attention to repetition. The word escheweth means hate. He hated evil. So that's the way we should be. The people, they love the wages of unrighteousness. You read in the book of 2 Peter and in the book of Jude, people like that. No, we shouldn't have pleasure in that junk. People doing things, and they're going to pay for doing all kinds of damnable acts. And we see people, the devil's getting their mind and possessing folks all the time. Now, the devil ain't everywhere in every place like God, but there are fallen angels or fallen spirits or unclean spirits. And we can see when Jesus came on the scene and he told them to shut up and come out of different ones, and he told them to hold their peace, that they should not make him known. And even devils cried out and said, "We know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God." This is what they said to Jesus. "Are you come to torment us before the time?" They knew who he was. He told them to shut up and come out. the ones that they were possessing. And you never, and he didn't have to use that name. That we will cast out devils in the name of Jesus. He didn't have to do that. He just spoke the word. They knew who he was. He told them to hold their peace, that they should not make him known, because they knew who he was. So devil has made a fool out of too many people. That's why James says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. In James 2 and 19, the devils also believe and tremble. He's talking about the little, we call them demons. There's no such thing. They're devils. They're unclean spirits. Actually, in reality, they are fallen angels. When Satan got cast out, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. How did he know? How did he see him? Because he threw him out. He was Lucifer, the son of the morning. You can read about him in the 28th. He was anointed cherub that covereth in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, that's when he was saying, how art thou fallen from heaven? O Lucifer, son of the morning. But he wanted to take over, and God threw him out like a streak of lightning. He had to go. So he's a master of deception. And the only way he can't fool you is if you have the Holy Ghost and you got to walk in the Spirit. And you got to realize what he is. He's a piece of work. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a deceiver and all of that. So Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Has thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, his substance, his increase in the land. Now, this is the devil telling God about Job fearing you because he got a bunch of stuff. He got a bunch of things. This is he's making this, telling God this. So, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now, what a ridiculous accusation this devil is saying to God, telling God this to his face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Again, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Talking about Job. There came a messenger unto Job, said the ox were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and some beings fell upon them and took them away. Yea, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So it goes on, go on. All these things happen. So behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men. They are dead. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So we go on here. We haven't even got to the part. What? Again, there was a day when his sons, the sons of God, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Here it is again. And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? Thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath would he give for his life. See, he already lost all his children and his daughters and sons, put forth in his flock, his stock and everything. And the Lord said, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, all that a man hath would he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, he will curse thee to thy face. This is the devil telling God that Job will curse you to your face if you smote him or you put sickness on him. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, if you let me put something on him or disease. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life, but accept his life. That word save means accept. Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. See, God allowed this with sore boils. Satan did this from the sole of his foot unto his crown. That means his head. He put forth him a postured to scrape himself with all, and he sat down among the ashes. This is Job. So, like somebody said, sore boils. Y'all remember them zits teenagers had? You popped them, and a white puff came out and blood. They were sore. A boil is sore. They all are sore. And so then said his wife unto him, this is Job, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Can you imagine that? That his wife turned on him. So the Bible says a man's enemies is of his own household in the book of Micah. So sometimes these kinds of things happen. But Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. We read in the book of Ezekiel, the son not going to bear the iniquity of the father, nor the father the son, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So every man's got to give an account for the deeds done in his body to God for himself. So that's why Jesus said it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because people are not going to want to hear other people not realizing that this is God using these individuals. So here Satan put it in Job's wife's heart to tell Job to curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. So a lot of things went on here in the book of Job. So I just want to bring out some of the events that took place here in the book of Job. But more importantly, to let you know that is the same God that we have been talking about all the time. We have been talking about the Godhead. There is one in the Godhead. So-called Trinitarians, they're out of their mind. They don't understand. God is not a freak. You got more than one head, you're a freak. But he is a head of the church, which is his body. So there is only one God, and that is so. And then people try to figure out, you want to figure out the origin of something, then you can dissect it and figure it all out. But you can't reach back and get God, because God is in eternity. God threw in time for us to get ourselves together. We're going to go back into eternity. So before the foundation of the world, he chose us in him. Talking about the church, we were chose in him. So the foreknowledge of God, 1 Timothy 2 and 4, who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That is the will of God. But God knows that everybody is not going to accept him. So it's up to us to make the choice. Like somebody said, make a change from the wrong side to the right side. So here we are. We're really dealing with a book. So there are other books in the Bible that were written where you don't even hear mention of God. I believe one of them is the book of Esther, but we know that God is in the midst of it. In the other books, you don't hear nothing about the devil or none of that. But you got evil men. Even in the same book of Esther, Haman tried to set up a plot for Mordecai. But he got Haman ended up being hung on the gallows that he set up for Mordecai. So you see that the devil was working there. Although you don't see the word God, you don't see the word devil, but the devil is an evil spirit who works through people. So he definitely is a piece of work. So anytime you're going to go against God, you have lost your mind. That's exactly what he did. And so we see the beast and the false prophet are going to beat the devil to the lake of fire. So it says the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. This is in the book of the Revelation, the 20th chapter, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And we go on, you see, whosoever name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So you can read in the book of the Revelation, you don't want to be on the Lord's side, so you won't be hurt of the second death. So God is definitely going to pour out his wrath on this wicked world after he takes his church out of the earth. He's going to come and punish the inhabitants of the earth. It's definitely what he's going to do. So this is just some of these things that are going on. You can't, they're lost. Actually, law enforcement and all of the agencies are searching out, and people don't have privacy like they would desire to, because everybody is a potential criminal, even down to a baby. I mean, you can't even get on an airplane. They're looking in babies' diapers, old people, looking all in your luggage and everything, because you get the devil is a piece of trash that he is. He'll use anybody. Just like I've said before, what a lie. I mean, you're not going to blow yourself up and you're going to paradise. That don't even make sense. And I mean, you're not going to blow yourself up and you're going to get 72 virgins. I mean, that don't even make sense. I mean, they don't understand about the resurrection. You're neither going to be marrying or given in marriage in the resurrection. It's going to be a whole different thing in the resurrection. It's not going to be married or given in marriage, but we're going to be as angels, which are angels are created beings, which are, they are neuter gender, which means they're neither male nor female. So that just stabs a death lick into that folly. So you're not going to get, so people thinking that whoever they think God is, because it definitely ain't Jesus. You're not going to get you ain't getting one virgin, let alone 72. And how stupid is that? You blowed all the pieces. You bomb yourself and blow yourself up. And you can't even find your brain. You sure can't find nothing else. You wouldn't know a virgin if you saw one, because you can't see one. Because how stupid is that? But the devil is a deceiver, making a fool out of people. So-called martyr and all of that. I mean, that's stupid. I mean, even the apostles, they died a horrible death. And that's why I try to make it plain about apostles. Their job was to lay the foundation, write the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths. John was boiled in oil. I asked the question, who want to be boiled in oil? You want to see how that feel? I don't. So that doesn't even make sense. So they didn't. So in other words, the point being that I'm making is they wouldn't want to choose to die horrific death, being skinned alive, pulled in two by horses, threw off the temple. Just horrible deaths that they died, the apostles, what I'm talking about. So let alone anybody, you're out of your mind. You're volunteering to be a martyr. You're crazy. That doesn't even make sense. So thank God for his word. So we go on here. We know that the devil is a liar and the father of it, and the things that he'd done in the word, down through the years, through the ages, and he's still working. He's still the same devil. Got people shooting up people buying up guns and everything. But you can't kill the devil. You can kill people, and the devil is still out acting like he came out of hell, where which is where he's going to go. But he's a liar and the father of it, and he's still doing foolishness and making a fool out of people, out of police departments and everything, because he is an evil spirit. He's the prince of the power of the air, in the book of Ephesians, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Like someone said about a woman getting raped on a cold basement floor. She was in her 90s. And one of our bishops told this. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He passed in 1990. He told this back in, I heard it probably in the 70s or in the 80s, as early 70s and 80s, about a woman. And so the woman lived to identify the guy. She was in her 90s. Like, he raped a 90-something-year-old woman on a cold basement floor. So they asked the guy, she identified him, why did you do it? And he said, I don't know. And the very next statement, I never forgot, if the devil gets your mind, he will possess you, and you will do what he says. So there it is right there. Nobody in their right mind want him to get their mind, because we can't, because we think of evil and all that, we can't pay people back. But we have to realize God is the one that's going to pay people back. He knows how to fight a devil and dealing with them, and knows what to do, and nobody can stay his hand or say unto him, because he has all power. So we go on here, the time that we have here, we want to establish a point, and so we can see, prove the deity of Jesus. I believe in the 14th chapter of Matthew, Jesus, the disciples were out in the water, and they saw Jesus walking on the sea. You can read that. And you also, I believe it's the 14th chapter of Matthew, and also I know for sure the 6th chapter of Mark and the 6th chapter of St. John. They saw Jesus walking on the sea. Now, you don't, people don't, can't explain that away, but I'm going to try to fly through here right quick to make my point. Yes, and then so this, you read, and when the disciples, in the fourth watch of the night, they were out in the, like we say, out in the sea. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Did you hear what I just said, that the Bible said? He went to the disciples walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is the spirit. And they cried out for fear. Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And so we know this is the account where Peter said, if it be you, bid me to come. He said one word, come. Peter walked on that word. So also in the 6th chapter of the book of Mark has the same account. They were toiling in the fourth watch of the night in that boat. He cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Okay, so we're going to move on because our time has just about got away. Also in the 6th chapter of St. John, this is the same account. This is that account that I'm still trying to get. Okay, when they come nigh, come to the disciples, went down unto the sea. Jesus, you know, he didn't want them to make a king. He went to a mountain. He entered into a ship, went on over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them, the disciples. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. We're talking about the disciples. They were in that sea. They had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs. They saw Jesus walking on the sea. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. He said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And I'm still trying to get that. Which means as soon as Jesus got in the boat, they were at the other side. So John, he talks about a divine God. So what we want to talk about, so our point that we're making on today, so we see here Job talking about, I know that it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him, one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. In other words, you can't harden yourself against God and prosper, which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger. Talking about God, who shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. Here it is right here, what I wanted to get to. This is talking about God here, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Don't that sound just like what Jesus just did? God alone, walking on the sea. He is the only one that can do that. So which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. So that's exactly what Jesus did, because he is God. And some people probably never really looked at that. But Jesus came to them walking on the sea. So we thank God for that. And so that is just proving his deity once again. And before we get out of here on today, just would like to bring to your attention again about this business, this coffee, www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com, that my wife, Ambrosia L.D. Cannon, is selling. And people have heard of this product. So if you could kindly go to her website, www.cannonballcoffeeclub.organogold.com. So we thank God for his word, and just another time that we're able to get into the word of the Lord. So we'll definitely talk to you on next time. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That means it's a hidden truth, a mystery. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you. So you able to talk to anybody?
No, I think I'm coming out of the email again. I told them that they want to send a new bottle, but